Welcome, Stephanie Lombardo, to my show, Whiz Bang Boomer.
I'm so excited to be here. Thank you for having me, John. And I love your podcast. I think it's really great what you're doing.
Thanks so much. I really appreciate it. And Stephanie, I have been very appreciative of your work, too. You are an incredible songwriter.
Thank you.
I love your songs, and we're going to talk all about them in a few minutes. And I, in addition to you being a songwriter, I also know you to be a stand-up comedian. I know you've done stand-up comedy. I know you've done improv comedy. You've been an improv piano player, which is one of the most difficult forms, in my opinion, of acoustic.
Sure.
So we'll talk. Because, I mean, I can improvise as an actor, but improv, like, how do you play music that you're just making up on the spot? That is incredible. So we'll talk a little bit about that. And also, you are a jack of all trades, literally, when it comes to the arts. You went to school for filmmaking, and you, I believe you have a career. You tell me, like, why don't you refresh my memory on your filmmaking exploits?
Sure. Sorts of creativity and filmmaking being one of them. And as I grew up, I kind of made my own movies in my room with my friends. Wrote my own scripts. So then that led me to pursue kind of a college educational career in film. And I started my college education at Nassau Community College. Got my 2-year degree in media, and that's where I also started my radio show, which I'm going to get into a little bit later.
That's right.
And then
I forgot to mention your radio show. Oh my God.
It's all good. Next was Hofstra University, and that's where I graduated with a bachelor's in film production and media studies. I guess my focus has always been on video editing, because that's really where you could make or break a movie. You know, you could really take a script and make it like the slowest pace that just draws on, that doesn't have any impact. But because you have good editing behind it, it could be, you know, you're sitting on the edge of your seat and it's action packed. You know, those edit changes really make a difference. So that's also what led me to pursue filmmaking. And I loved it.
I have to tell you, I agree with you 1,000% and about the editing, how important it is. And behind me in this studio that we're broadcasting from, I have a poster. I just bought a poster from eBay of Mad Max Thunder Road.
Nice. Mm-hmm.
I just watched that film again on HBO Max. My wife wanted HBO Max so we could watch the Friends reunion, because that didn't happen.
Oh, I saw that.
And I'm like, it was great, wasn't it? I'm looking through the films. I'm like, oh, they have Mad Max Fury Road. So I watched it again, and it is a marvel when it comes to editing. If you haven't seen it, you must see it.
I'm going to definitely check it out.
Here it is. Winner, Best Achievement in Film Editing.
There you go.
And the name of this person is Margaret Sixel, S-I-X-E-L. She is incredible. Wow. So you'll really appreciate Happy Feet, Short and Happy Feet, Babe Pig in the City. She's married to George Miller, the director.
Oh, great. And it's really great and refreshing to hear when, you know, a female editor is kind of the star. Yeah. I think they have a different touch. So, not, you know, better or worse, just different.
I love the fact that you're so diverse in the arts. We went over all these, and I'm going to say them again. Songwriting. You're a musician, comedian, improviser, improv, piano player, editor, and you host a radio show.
Oh my gosh, I'm feeling tired just hearing that list.
So am I. I need a break. Let's talk, before we go any further, let's talk about your education, your background. Let's talk about your radio show, because I want to make sure that we don't forget that. Tell us all about your radio show and how you got into that role.
Well, that was another childhood passion of mine. See, like, I'm just basically like a kid, a 30-something-year-old kid. That's all I really am. So, like I mentioned, I started when I was going to Nassau Community College. They have a great radio station there. And I think I was in like my second semester. I kind of wandered into the radio station office and basically like fell in love with the whole place. It was exactly what I had envisioned a real life broadcasting studio to be. And I started with the morning show. I did some, you know, news broadcasting. I did a couple of promo recordings, things like that. And then eventually you have the opportunity to pitch your own show. And towards the end of my experience at NASA, when I was getting close to graduating, I had pitched a show where at the time it was called The Club Mix. And the premise was to showcase sort of like B-side songs of artists, you know, still poppy and things you could dance to, but stuff that you might not always hear. And over the years, the show has evolved little by little, and the time slots have evolved with it as well. So I'm currently on it on Saturdays at 4 p.m., and the show is called The Party Mix. Okay. And it's like whenever you tune in, it's like you're going into a party, whether it's, you know, in a club or at a wedding. The song genre is a little bit more diverse because it spans many decades, like from the 60s to now. So there's a little bit of something for everyone. And also the radio station itself has evolved. We actually won a couple of awards recently for, I think, best morning show broadcast, and just getting a lot more notoriety in general for the whole station. So it's really fun to be a part of.
That's fantastic. And where can we find the your show?
If you have an old school radio like me, you can go on 90.3 FM WHPC, or you can stream online at nccradio.org. And if you have a smart speaker or Alexa or Google, you could ask them to play WHPC.
Stephanie, you are, as we talked about, you are a songwriter, and I did a quick Google, and I see you pop right up, Stephanie Lombardo. There's a song, Disguise, and there's a song, Get Out of Bed, yeah. There's a song, Heartbreaker, and the list goes on. So tell us about how you got into songwriting.
So I started playing piano, as you mentioned, when I was 3 years old, and I've had many influences throughout my life so far musically, but I hadn't started to write music until about 2010. So I used to do a couple of like instrumental tracks before then, but not really writing lyrics or, you know, melodies or even singing until that point. And it sort of came about because I was listening to some newer music. I had a friend of mine who was a songwriter, and I never met anybody that creative. And I think that was a big inspiration for me too. And the first song that I wrote was Get Out of Bed. And it was such an amazing transformational experience, because when you start writing music, you just sort of let things pour out of you. You know, it's like your feelings, and sometimes you discover things that I never knew I felt this, you know, and it comes out in a song, and it's really cool. So I wrote Get Out of Bed, and I wasn't sure where it was going to go. And actually, I wrote the verses without a chorus until about a year later. But I said, you know what, let me just put it out there and see what people think. And a friend of mine produced it. We recorded it in his house, and my other friend did a music video for it. And then I said, okay, this is something I always wanted to do anyway. And then I started writing a lot more music since then, and then came up with the other songs that you listed.
That's fantastic. And I love that video, the music video to Get Out of Bed is a fantastic video. I really love
it. Thank you. Yeah, my friend Spencer Holstein did that, and he's a wickedly talented producer, cinematographer, so he's really great.
This is Stephanie Lombardo's Get Out of Bed.
Think of you, dear, all the things you did and said. Babe, you know you've got me led to believe that you're the one I dream of. Baby, you're the one I need. And all the times we've had our share of problems, we've seemed to work it out. You assured me of your love and erased all the doubt. And now I hear you call the phone. For you again, I don't wanna go away, I just wanna hear. there's no fear. Do you remember the rush, the feeling I got from your touch? Your love was captivating, your kiss intoxicating.
Was phenomenal. That's one of my favorite songs. I've listened to that so many times. I've played it over and over again.
Thank you, John. That's so sweet of you.
And I played it for people. I played the video. Check out this video. You got to see this.
Stephanie. Does it make you want to get out of bed, though, or are you trying to just want to like hang out there?
I actually play it every morning, and it makes me get out of bed.
Awesome.
It makes me get out of bed by 4 p.m. Mm-hmm. on a Saturday so I could listen to your show.
Perfect
the party
timing,
mix,
of course.
On 90.3 FM, yes. WHBC.
Yes. And actually, you know what? With that song, I literally started writing it while I was in bed. Like, that's no joke. Like, so there you go.
I believe it. I always felt that, let's see if you agree with me, that every artist puts some of their truth, at least, mm-hmm. the core of their truth into their creations, whether it be an actor playing a role that is nothing like them, but there's still part of them in it.
Yeah.
They call upon their experiences. So songwriting, I could see that would be a major.
Yeah, totally.
Way to express yourself and mm-hmm. your truth.
Yeah.
So now we know Get Out of Bed is based on...
I didn't want to get out of bed, and I've gotten so many great reactions from it, though, so it's really rewarding, for sure.
Oh, great. And now I also see, and I just did a Google, and another video popped up, Heartbreaker. Mm-hmm. Tell us about that one. That one is February 2020, it says, per YouTube.
Yeah, well, I wrote that a couple of years before that. I think the music video was released probably last year or the year before. But that is a more recent one. That's a more dancey, poppier sound. I love to write things with like a really great hook or something that you can dance to. So I'm definitely in the pop contemporary genre, but I call it glam pop. So when you listen to my music, then you're listening to glam pop.
Well, you know what? We're going to take advantage of this incredible platform that we have. And we're going to play a little bit of Heartbreaker. That way we'll have a...
Cool.
Get Out of Bed, what genre would you say that
well,
is?
Well, that's a pop ballad, I would say.
Pop ballad, and Heartbreaker is glam, you said?
It's a glam pop dance.
Glam pop.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
All right, glam pop song that you can dance to, so glam pop dance. So that's I like the fact that you're diversified already there.
Cool.
So let's hear a little bit of Heartbreaker.
Troublemaker. addicting troublemaker. How long is it gonna take you till I make you mine? My little heartbreaker, heartbreaker, sweet fixation troublemaker. I know one day I'm gonna make you mine. Little heartbreaker, heartbreaker, so addicting troublemaker. How long is it gonna take you till I make you mine? My little heartbreaker, heartbreaker, sweet fixation troublemaker. I know one day I'm gonna make you mine.
Hey, that was fantastic. I was up and dancing here at the Whiz Bang Booba Studios.
Yes, I saw you bust a move. It was awesome.
I busted a hip, too. So that's fantastic. Thanks so much for talking about your music, and we heard some of your songs.
Cool.
And I guess the best, your songs are available where? Let me
sure.
Have you explain where they are.
Well, you could go on stephanielombardo.com. That's my full name, you know, one word, I guess. And you could hear all of my latest singles. They mostly reside on YouTube and SoundCloud at the moment. So
great. Mm-hmm. YouTube is another phenomenon, isn't it?
It is. I know. You could be on there for hours, just like video after video.
Let's see. 500 hours of video are uploaded. Okay, 500 hours of video are uploaded to YouTube every minute.
Oh my God, minute. Not even every day.
Every minute.
Oh my God.
Where are they putting all this?
Where do they put it? I know. Well, definitely my stuff is part of that 500 hours. I just uploaded a new song too recently, my latest single called Adore. So when you get a chance, I would love for you to hear it and let me know what you think.
Not only will I listen to it, but I like to play a little bit of it on the show because
sure.
This is a scoop for me.
Cool.
So it's called Adore.
Yep.
All right. And let's give us a little background on it before I play.
Oh, sure. Well, this is it's a story about a girl who wants to make sure that the guy she's with really adores her instead of just the superficial things. So you'll understand what I say when you check it out.
I see you with that look in your eye. You're not that typical kind of guy who plays with every girl that you see. Yes, I know I'm a little scared, but boy, I just cannot compare the feeling that I get when you're with me. Maybe it's crazy, but between you and me, we can create true love symphony. Where we began, we're not ready to end. We've got to be. Tell me you love me, I gotta be sure. My lips and my body are not the things you adore. I wanna believe you, but I've been played before. I've gotta know what you really adore. What you really adore. What you really adore. What you really adore. You really adore. What you really adore. What you really adore. Time goes by and it moves so fast, but I want these moments all to last. I take my time when I'm falling for you. I don't wanna hesitate. Run to me when you see my face. Make me believe it's all coming true. Falling in love is a work of art. If you move too fast, it'll fall apart. But I dream in color, outside the lines. We've gotta decide. Don't tell me you love me, I gotta be sure. My lips and my body are not the things you adore. I wanna believe you, but I've been played before. I've gotta know what you really adore. What you really adore. What you really adore. door. I wanna believe you, but I've been played before. I've gotta know what you really adore. Don't tell me you love me, I gotta be sure. My lips and my body are not the things you adore. I wanna believe you, but I've been played before. I've gotta know what you really adore. What you really adore. What you really adore. What you really adore.
Again, I was actually spinning around in my chair on that one. It's really got awesome. A nice... I could see what you're talking about when you say you write songs with a hook.
Yeah.
And, you know, I'm a big fan of 1960s pop because I'm a 60s person. I'm mm-hmm. a baby boomer.
Yeah.
And... I was very young. They were my formative years in the 60s.
Yeah.
But I remember putting on what they called Top 40 radio at the time. Mm-hmm. And every song was great. They all like were 2.5 minutes long.
Right.
And they all had a hook.
Yeah, exactly.
And, you know, you just remember the song. You just sing it over and over again.
Yeah.
Just those melodies would just, they would hook you.
Yeah.
And they would just get stuck in your mind.
Stuck in your head. And you're singing it all day long. And actually, that's why I love the 60s rock and roll music genre, too, because it is so catchy. And I spent many, you know, days with my dad listening to 60s rock and roll. So it's sort of like ingrained in my head, for sure.
Oh, me too. I was giving a plug to Sirius XM Radio before. When I'm in the car, mm-hmm. I'm fixed on that 60 station. I just love it.
Nice.
So that foundation for you, mm-hmm. that listening to the pop music with your dad,
yeah.
You know, basically set the tone for your composition. You didn't do like decide to go into like an experimental like Frank Zappa type music. You went with his pop hooks.
Yeah, I love it. And I think, you know, probably now I think about it, it's true what you mentioned where that was an influence, even though, you know, I don't really think about it consciously when I'm writing music. But I also do want to mention that my dad was a musician himself, too. And he has very great musical roots. And I think, like, he was such a strong, powerful, creative influence for me. And, you know, all the things that he did, I could, like, talk about for days just because, to me, he's such a huge rock star. So.
Oh, that's wonderful.
Yeah.
What instrument did he play?
He played bass guitar and also rhythm guitar. And actually, recently, I started picking up a couple of his bass guitars and trying to teach myself. And I could see what he loved so much about it. It's really, really fun to play. And at any time I would play something on the piano that was original, he would walk into the room and he would say, "Is that yours or is that, you know, new?" And then I'd say, "Yeah." And then if he liked it, like, he would definitely let me know. And I always knew that it was good if my dad liked it. So he was a good
barometer. He had a good ear.
Oh, yeah.
He had a good ear.
Absolutely, yeah.
Some people just have that gift. And I have to tell you, the fact that you have that many songs and they're out there, I give you tremendous credit.
Oh, thank you.
And I know how difficult it is to be heard.
Yeah.
We were talking about my incredible podcast. And the reality is that there are so many, and same thing with the songs. We talked about there's 100 million songs out there. Mm. So how do you get heard? Well, your songs have hooks, and people that like that genre of music are gonna just appreciate them. And as an artist, you keep just churning out what what you're true to.
Yeah.
And that's all we can do.
Exactly. So. And that's it. You put it out there. And then, you know, sometimes you have a good friend like yourself that is super supportive and, you know, showcases this. And, you know, that helps it tenfold, of course.
So we talked about education, music, your radio show. Mm-hmm. Let's talk about and your filmmaking. It's adorable, that story about how you used to make films when you were young mm-hmm. and write little scripts.
Yeah.
Let's talk about your comedy experience.
Okay, sure. Well, I have some great stories from that. That started after college. I was 21, and I say it was when I couldn't find a job, so I decided to, you know, pursue stand-up. And that was also another interest of mine. You know, like you mentioned philosophy earlier, one of my philosophies is you don't know until you try. So I loved Jerry Seinfeld. I saw his HBO special when I was a kid, and I actually memorized a ton of his monologue, and I used to perform it to my family when I was little. And then I said to myself, one day I'm going to get on the stage and, you know, do my own monologue and just have fun with it. So at 21, that's exactly what I did. I went to the Brokerage, which is on Long Island. They had an open mic night. My parents were completely shocked. And by the way, I used to be like the shyest kid growing up. So I'm always like surprising people. And I said, I'm going to do an open mic night. And I think they gave you a 7-minute time slot. And I wrote my own material. And I said, well, I'm either going to love it or I'm not going to like it. But either way, I don't have nothing to lose. Why not try it? And that's exactly what I did. And I ended up falling in love with it. It was love at first mic. Wow. So
I love it.
Yeah. And then I went back several times. I got friendly with the owner at the time. And there's this really great story where they said, come back Thursdays and Sundays and, you know, try to get a spot. So I would go there Thursdays and Sundays and hang around and, you know, see if they threw me like 5 minutes on stage. And I remember one night getting in there and I had like a, I think I had 7 minutes already rehearsed. But anyways, the MC was like really, really hardcore. And he was, I told him who I was and I'm like, oh, so-and-so told me to come back. And he's like, all right, I'll let you know if you can go on. So I'm just waiting there and the show starts and I don't know if I'm going on or not. I'm also feeling a little nervous. And then suddenly he comes up to me, he goes, you're up next, you got 5 minutes, don't suck.
Oh my, okay.
So I said, okay, no problem. So I can't, you can't let people see you sweat. So I'm like, all right. So in my mind, I'm editing out 2 minutes of my routine. Mm-hmm. Extremely nervous, but I'm like, you know what? Go up there, have fun. And it was a packed house and I had probably one of the best nights of performing so far. It was so much fun. Everybody was really, you know, they enjoyed it. I got a great response from the audience. So, yeah, that was a really great night. And then I've done some other stand-up clubs in New York City and then obviously worked with you for improv. And that was really fun, too.
Yes, you are one of the bravest people I've ever met because not only are you doing music videos, you're dancing in a music video. You're doing a radio show. You did stand-up, which is to me is, I think, the hardest performance art form because I've tried everything, too, like improv and acting and all that. Acting, you have the script.
Yep.
Improv, you just wing it, but you have people up there with you.
Yeah.
Stand-up, you're alone.
Exactly, exactly.
You are totally alone, and people, all eyes are on you.
I know.
That's it.
I know, and you know what?
So.
It's such a simple art form. You know, that's exactly it. You're just there with the microphone, and you have, you know, comedians have the ability to just have a crowd of people in the palm of their hand. And that is such, I mean, that's art in its purest form, so.
I agree with you.
Yeah.
I have such tremendous respect for anybody that does stand-up. And they often, when I was doing it for a brief period of time, you inevitably get compared to Seinfeld or today Sebastian Maniscalco, people like that. And you're like, not quite, because
right,
I mean, those guys just did it,
yeah,
you know, for years and years and years and years, and they are incredibly talented, obviously. But as we've been talking about all the things that you are into, and we kind of like have the same approach, you and I, to the arts, we are into like all these different art forms,
sure.
Those guys just went for broke with it and did nothing else but that.
Yeah, yeah, they put all their eggs in that basket.
I mean, you and I were like working full time plus doing this other stuff at night.
Right.
You know,
I
on the
know.
Side.
I know. So, but again, that's diversity, you know? So that makes for a robust life experience.
And for me, it was wanting a secure paycheck.
That's true, too.
So excellent. And we'll talk about, you did walk into a Seesaw Comedy audition, and we've gone through so many iterations of Seesaw Comedy, and it's been around, the troupe's been around for probably like 12 years now, and to walk in into Seesaw Studios and to audition with people that at the time we had people that had been around for years and were so comfortable with it. Just, you know, so I give you tons of credit for jumping in there. And then what I ended up doing is I ended up pressing you into like the hardest position, which was the improv piano
player. Right. I remember. Yeah. And it definitely has, I think anything improv has its challenges, but musically for sure, you know, your son is very good at that too. So.
Well, he had been, my son Danny had been our piano player for years since he was like a little, like 13 or something, and he was like ready to move on. And I think we had an interim piano player, Joe Nugent, for a while. I'm not sure if you came in before or after him. Maybe after him.
Okay.
I think you came in after him. And we were like, we do this improvised musical. And you're like, what?
Yeah.
And we do this like, you know, multiple songs. We're going to ask for like five song styles and you're going to have to play.
I know.
Like,
I know.
And you're like, excuse me? But you did it.
Well,
you performed with us.
And it was fun. And I'm so glad that you did that too, that you pushed me into that, because I learned so much by doing it.
I'm glad you did. And we're going to have you back as soon as we're all...
Cool.
We got an all clear. And, you know, the theaters actually are opening back up. Heartscrabble, where we have performed last, is opening back up.
Nice.
We're having board meetings and we're talking about shows we're going to put up, plays we're going to put up. And improv is an easy show to put up because there are no scripts, as you know, and there's no sets. There's basically, we just bring ourselves and we jump up there. But to add music to it really differentiates it. And that's where you're going to come in once again.
All right. I'll be there.
And I think we're in the process of getting you into shows. I don't have a... everything in my life is improvised, so.
Nice.
I promise. I'm going to get you up there.
Okay.
For sure.
Okay. No problem.
Out of the off the piano stool and into the sketches.
Oh, okay. Yeah, those are fun,
so,
too.
We've talked about so many things that you've done. What I want to talk about now as we wrap up is what plans do you have for the future in the arts? What are your goals? Let's talk about those.
Yeah, well, I would say many goals, but I think the one for the short term would be still music production. So as we're sort of getting back to normal and venues are opening up, I would love to start performing live again. I would love to start collaborating with other artists, which I'm already doing a lot of that. I have like several songs in the works with different producers of different genres that I'm working with right now. So definitely keep, you know, putting out great music that people would love to hear. So
you more into, would you say production, music production, producing?
No,
others,
still, you know, doing solo artist work, singing, songwriting, things like that. But with the collaboration piece, it could be, you know, I've had producers come to me with like instrumentals and say, hey, or can you write lyrics to this song? So those are several projects that I have in the works right now.
I love it. So we'll look out for those.
Yeah.
And when you come back to talk about other subjects, which you promised.
Yes.
We will get a refresher on where you're at with the goals. And I know that you're going to be, I know you're going to be accomplishing so much. In fact, I think your best creations are ahead of you.
Yeah. Well, thank you.
We're all going to come out of this thing. And I know you had a challenging year in more ways than one, not just the pandemic. So I think that all these experiences, my opinion, my experiences, all of these experiences, and we were talking about in pre-production, you and I, they help us. At first they hurt, but then we gain traction and all those experiences come together and jettison us to other artistic you know, creations.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
It does. It sometimes, you know, if you believe in God, which I do, you know, he steers us in a course correction, you know? So sometimes, you know, it changes you for the good and it makes you a stronger person in the long term.
I agree with you 1,000%.
Yeah.
I know that was easy.
Do. I know you do, because I know you're very in tune with spirituality. So I look forward to coming back and talking about those subjects. So
great.
Yeah.
Stephanie, it's been amazing having you. Uh-huh. I'm so grateful. Talk about God. Thank God that you walked into Seesaw Studios and auditioned for me, because I found out about all these other things that you do.
The feeling is mutual, because I'm appreciative that we became friends over the years and that you took a chance on little shy me. I don't even know how many years ago that was. That was a long time ago, right?
It's been many years, yeah. Because like we just talked about the frame of reference,
yeah.
The party from 3 years
right,
ago.
Right, right, right.
Where you played.
Yeah.
You played at my party 3 years ago.
I know. And we had already known each other for a couple of years before that.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
And I'm actually planning another party, so I'm probably going to be calling you.
Oh, cool. I'll be there.
right, and we'll dance to one of your songs. We'll do that.
Cool.
The crazy dance.
The John Stevens dance.
That's right. One of my many monikers.
Yes.
So I'm happy to hear that you have plans for the future and you're going to keep creating. We heard about your incredible show, The Party Mix, which is on Saturdays mm-hmm. at 4 p.m.
Yep.
We played some of your original songs, and people can go out and listen to them and go out to your website, stephanielombardo.com.
Yeah.
Did I get that right?
Exactly.
Okay. Mm-hmm. And we talked about some stand-up and some improv, and be on the lookout for Seesaw Comedy, because we're going to be coming back, and Stephanie's going to be either in the show or at the piano playing improvised stuff.
Exactly.
So, Stephanie, thank you so much. Did I leave anything out? I always leave at least one of your art forms out.
That's more than enough for me. So, but thank you so much for, you know, this awesome podcast and your continued support. It really means a lot.
Thank you, Stevie. Thanks so much for joining the Whiz Bang Boomer Show.
Woo!
Woohoo!
You have